This program features hacks performed either by noobs or under the supervision of noobs. They are far from perfect. Accordingly, Anti-Meme and the producers must insist that people attempt to recreate or reenact any hack or activity performed on the show to get it right the next time. Anti-Meme asks that if our listeners do get any of these hacks or culture jams correct, that they submit information on what and how they did it. In other words, please try this at home.
It's up to you what you can do. You're left with all your choices. You're in the clear, another beer. We quiet all the voices. But it's your life, and I certainly wouldn't tell you what to do. But you're living like you haven't got a clue. It's your life, and I realize you're living out your dreams. But the end just might be closer than it seems. Just what you think, you're on the brink of being someone close to the top, but will you flop, cause you forgot where you came from. I hope you realize it's gone soon. Who's gonna love you if you hate yourself? But it's your life, and I certainly wouldn't tell you what to do. Closer than it seems. If I would have known what I know today, I guess I wouldn't have it any other way. If I would have known what I know today, I guess I wouldn't have it any other way.
To preface this show, show notes are really crucial. www.antmeme.org and check out the details.
Okay, this episode is on just basic logic structures. We brought Medicine Sue back in the show this time.
Howdy.
Yeah, our setup this time is very, very haggard. It took us a few hours, but bear with us. It should be good. I'm going to start off with the emails, though I know some people think that it takes too much time. I'll just try to run through them pretty quick. I'll read two of them. I'm saving one from Zeno till the next show because it's more appropriate. But the first email is from Yach. Says, I've been waiting 2 years for somebody in the HP indie internet radio scene to use that NoFX track for an intro or outro. I think it represents the old Biafra slogan of Be the Media quite well. And actually, as a side note, I have a t-shirt that says Be the Media. Medicine Soup, you want to read the other email?
It's addressed to you, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Okay. It's from Heprim. It says, Hey, Logic. Just a quick note to say that I've been enjoying Anti-Meme since I listened to the episode number one. It's a nice breath of fresh air from a lot of the other hacker radio shows. The constrict of time means that there's never dead air or, what are we going to talk about moments? Keep it up. And as a note to that, actually I intentionally tried to make this show kind of bite-sized. What I mean by that is a lot of shows, you know, we're hackers, we like to multitask, we're technical, you know, so I listen to hacker radio shows while I'm eating, so I can do two things at once, but I usually end up finish eating before the show ends, so I'm like, okay, I'm done eating, but I'm still listening to the show doing one thing now. So I try to make a show pretty much the size of the time it takes me to eat, and, you know, 2600 showing up on Winamp or XMMS, that's pretty cool too. Now I'm going to get into the show topic, which is basic logical structures. First thing, we should kind of say, well, what is logic? It pretty much, I'd say, it's just a process. It's a kind of a truth processing tank. You throw a bunch of truth-related premises into the tank, and logic is the part of it that processes all of those statements, and it'll spit out conclusions that are actually true, so long as the premises that you throw into it are true.
I guess I would consider logic the mathematics of truth.
Yeah, definitely, it is the mathematics of truth. In fact, George Boole, he's the one that originally pumped out the mathematical format to actually show that logic is a useful structure and can be relied upon. Because it used to be, actually, people just thought it was another kind of a science, but he was actually able to map it into something other people had more confidence in. The logical process can be compared to a computer process. You know, you have your inputs, like, you know, keyboard, mouse, all that crap. You have processing, which is in the box, and then output, you know, monitor, whatever. So input, output, and then processing, which is the actual logic part. The input and output is just statements that have true. So, I mean, one by one, I'll just take these input, output, and processing. For the input, the terminology in logic, it's called a premise. So an input statement, and it should resolve to either true or false. So some examples, it's raining. See, that's a premise. It could be either true or false. My skin is green. Well, that could resolve to true or false, too. I mean, yeah, it resolves to false, but it's still a premise. Now, if I were to say, is my skin green? That's not a premise. It's a question. It can't be resolved to true or false. It's a question. Or if I said, make it rain, well, that's not really a premise either. It's actually just a command, so it doesn't resolve to true or false.
The terminology of the output in logic is the conclusion, the new information you're coming up with. And that's what's important about logic, is that you are taking known information and coming up with new information that was not previously known. A lot of this is going to seem kind of simple at first, because although you're unaware of it, you're constantly performing logical inferences without knowing it.
And then on to the processing, the actual meat of the logic, another thing it's called is an inference. It's kind of like an educated guess, but with logic it's a little bit more than educated. You have information input, and then you go by a defined structure that will guarantee you great output based on the quality of the input. Now, that's some of the key terms in logic. A couple other ones to touch on are validity and soundness. As far as validity goes, what it means is as long as all of the premises are true, as long as all the input is pure, logic, the process of logic, will guarantee a true conclusion or a pure conclusion. So that's what validity means. Another way to put it, to explain the inverse, is invalidity, or another word for that is a fallacy. That's where the premises do not support the conclusion. In other cases, if the conclusion is false and the premises are all true, you can never have a case like that in a valid argument where you have false premises but a true conclusion. That is invalid. Though you could have a true conclusion with irrelevant premises that don't support it, which happen to still be true, it can still be invalid that way. So, the other term was soundness. Not only is it valid, but it also assumes that all the premises are true. So, and that sounds kind of weird, but you can actually have a valid argument where the premises are false. It's just not going to guarantee a great conclusion. But soundness is when everything in actuality is true.
Right. Validity has to do with the correct logical structure, and soundness has to do with both logical structure and true conclusions and true premises.
And as long as you have the true premises, as long as it's valid, then you would have the true conclusions anyway, as we were saying.
Right, so soundness is true premises plus valid logical structure.
And we also kind of cooked up an example here, just to try to show an example of unsoundness, a not sound argument, but still valid. And that's, say one of our premises is, if the world was flat, then all the water would fall off the ocean. And another one of our premises is, well, we do know that the Earth is flat. So our conclusion could be, well, then the water would fall off the ocean. That's valid. That argument is valid.
Although it isn't true that the water is draining off the edge of the world.
Correct. See, yeah, the conclusion is false. But yeah, our structure was valid into getting to that conclusion from the information that we were given. But this is an example of an unsound argument. Though it's valid, it's not sound because the premises are not true, including the conclusion as well. Now, that's one part of logic that can be sort of confusing. You know, the English language, or any language for the most part, it complicates things because it's not clear that our language isn't set to accommodate truth so visually. So a very good model or a good form to go about logic is symbolic logic, to convert all those things that do equate to truth just to a symbol, like the letter A or B. And that's what you do in symbolic logic. Anything that has a truth statement, like if it's raining, okay, we can just convert that to the letter A. And the biggest reason for doing that is for clarity, take the bias and subjectivity out of it too. So if you're talking about truth statements that people are all hot about and that are really...
Right, you can reduce someone's argument to a simple equation that is extremely clear and very hard to misconstrue.
Exactly. Now, there's two really major ways that are used to practice logic. There's proofs and there's truth tables. One of the most commonly used methods is proofs. It's pretty much just like the proofs you learn in geometry. In fact, some of the rules are the same. But it's what you do with a proof is you take some fundamental inference structures, which we're actually going to cover some of the main basic inferences on another episode. We'll get into one of the inferences just so some of this makes a little bit of sense. you take the inference structures as axioms, which is like the lowest level premise. It's what you assume to be true about the world. So you take those axioms and you can reach theorems from there by using logic. It's kind of like a free-form style of proving conclusions too, because you take all your given information and you just use the process and, you know, skate from there. You just apply those rules and you get conclusions out of it. Now, another system is truth tables. Truth tables are a little bit different. I would compare it, you know, say if you could compare a proof to C++, I would say a truth table is the example of assembly language, because truth tables are a lower level way to solve validity for a conclusion. With the truth table, it's not a matter of, okay, you're given the premises and then you're trying to see what you conclude out of it. The truth table, you have the premises and you have a conclusion that you're trying to test to see if it is valid to be proven from the given information. And the disadvantage of this process is it usually takes a little bit longer to use to prove things. But one of the upsides is it's very mechanical, so it's easier to apply, though it does take a while. Whereas using the method of proofs, it does take a little bit of intuition to get around. Now, an example of a proof using inference, as I say, and this is the one that we're going to use as an example, there's an inference called modus ponens, and it's Latin for mode that affirms.
Using symbolics, we have if A, then B occurs, or if B is true. Now suddenly we know A is true. Therefore, we can conclude that B must be true. Or if A, then B. A, therefore B.
Right, and to kind of translate it to the infer, like just kind of English, just see it in practice. And all this, just so you guys keep in mind, is on the notes on the website. So if you want to follow along, that might be helpful. In English,
if it's raining, then there were clouds nearby. We know it's raining. Therefore, we can conclude that there were clouds nearby.
And to symbolize it, to say if it's raining, well, that part of it, to say it is raining, is that statement either true or false? Yeah, it can be either true or false. So we're going to say it is raining is the letter A. And then there were clouds nearby part of it. Well, there were clouds nearby, is that true or false? That could be true or false. So we're going to say that's B. So to symbolize it, we could say A, it is raining, B, there will be clouds outside. So then you can actually simplify it to if A, then B, we know A, therefore B. So it makes it really easy to do that without even having to think about the context of the issue. It takes the context out of it so you can just focus on the structure, which is really important. So we can conclude B out of the premises by the inference of modus ponens.
When I was first learning this, I thought it was kind of stupid because it seems pretty simple that you could conclude, you know, if it's raining then there are clouds nearby. Well, it's raining. Obviously there's clouds nearby. You don't really need to think about that to conclude that. It wasn't really important that I was learning how to think. It was more that I was learning the structure of how I was concluding those things. It can help you later understand other things that are considerably more complex.
And we'll move into a little bit more complex argument here. It's severely complex, but we're just stepping it up a notch. We're going to use another inference. It's actually disjunction. It means like we have A or B, and we know that we don't have B, we can say that we have A. So that's one of the extra inferences we're going to throw in here. So here's the premises we have in plain English. It says, if it's raining, then there'll be clouds nearby. And another premise is, it is raining, or kittens are dying. We also have another premise that says, well, kittens are not dying. So we can actually bring up another premise, or it also doubles as a conclusion, that it is raining because we know that the kittens aren't dying. So from that, we can actually conclude that, therefore, there were clouds nearby. And I'm symbolizing it, you know, on the notes you can follow, but we'll have A equals it's raining, B is that there's clouds nearby, and C that means that there's, you know, kittens are dying. So premises in symbolic form, if A, then B, A or C, not C, therefore A first off, and we can conclude B by modus ponens.
So, it's either that it's raining or kittens are dying, one or the other. And we know that kittens are not dying, so it must be that it's raining. And if it's raining, then there are clouds nearby.
Yeah, it sounds a little more clear than the example, the way I said it. But, yeah, so, and that's just structure. I mean, when you symbolize it, you don't even have to think about the context. It just flows through, because that's all logic is structure. Doesn't matter how you feel about it. Doesn't matter if you want or don't want the kittens to die. That's
or
not fucking relevant.
The fact that it makes absolutely no sense that it must be raining or kittens are dying.
Yeah.
The fact that they're unrelated really doesn't matter to the structure of logic.
That's correct. And before we actually get into the truth tables, because that's kind of heavy and you're definitely going to want to look at the notes, I apologize, we'll get into the anti-commercial, and it's going to be a little bit different this time. I hardware hacked my alarm clock and hooked it up to the computer, so now we're going to get a commercial from the FM dial.
You're getting a tax refund. It's like free money. Free is a good way to be.
To be able to talk day in, day out, as many minutes as you want.
Cricket is all about freedom. Unlimited. Unlimited anytime minutes, unlimited U.S. long distance, and unlimited text, picture, and instant messaging.
One flat rate can call anywhere, talk to anybody, anytime.
I didn't have to sign anything. I don't have to count my minutes. I love my phone.
Set yourself free now at Cricket. Buy a phone and get your first month of unlimited calling free. No signed contracts, no credit checks. Wait to switch, and you're paying for it.
I always said I need a plan that I can do anything I want. It's just the greatest plan I've ever been on.
Unlimited refers to calls and messages received and made from your area to the U.S. and excludes Alaska. Features are phone dependent. Excludes Dorado. Taxes and fees extra. Other restrictions apply. See store for details.
Check out Cricket's all-digital, crystal-clear network.
Okay, we're back from our sponsor.
Or unsponsor. Fuck them. You know, it's good we're talking about Logic. Well, you know, I kind of lay this one down on a lot of the commercials, but I would say from that fallacy we learned last time in episode 2, non sequitur, they say, okay, you know, you're getting your return, and that gives you freedom. So, okay, if A, then B, cool. If you go with Cricket, you'll also have freedom. Okay, so if C, then also B. So I get freedom that way too. All right. So in conclusion, how are they relating those two premises? Wait a second, whoa. How is my return related in any fucking way to getting Cricket service? They did not explain that one bit. So I just thought that would be a cool commercial to include. And I used to have Cricket, and yeah, I don't know, they're probably good now, but they sucked when I had them. Not enough features, a little bit expensive for what they were, which is kind of weird. I don't know, I'm just throwing that in there because, you know, it's our unsponsor, so I gotta talk some shit. Oh wait, yeah, on a note of talking shit, fuck Alienware, man. We were trying to set some stuff up audio-wise earlier, and man, the power sourcing from the motherboard to the sound card is way too connected because we were getting all kinds of assloads of noise, and it was mostly coming from the power supply. If you unplugged it, it sounded pretty good, but that's another thing about the Alienware is it dies really quick because it sucks so much goddamn power, so fuck Alienware, you know.
You know, Alienware used to be really great computers, but after they sold out to a larger corporate entity, it just kind of went to crap. Luckily, Voodoo PC is owned by the original owners of Alienware, and they actually make the good computers that Alienware used to be.
All right, now we're going to go back to the show topic. We're talking about truth tables now. First off, there's a few different little terms we should go over that actually link the little statements together. Basically, and, or, if, then, and not. And on the site, you'll see some truth tables for it. But what we do is, if we're saying and, we got two different things, we'll say like A and B. Well, what we want to do is make a table of all the possible combinations of A and B. And mathematically, there's four different combinations, so I laid them all down. And I use zeros and ones for trues and falses. Zero is false, one is true. So it just saves space. I like using it better. So we have A and B and all the different combinations, and I have another column for A and B. Now, logically, and this makes sense, but if you have A and B, the only time that it'll be true on the A and B column is if we have both A and B true at the same time. All the other cases where only A is true but B is not, well, that's not true on the A and B. If you have both of them on true, that's still not true to say A and B. So I don't know if that makes any sense. Do you want to clarify at all?
Yeah, it's if you have clouds in the sky and there's a low pressure front coming in, then it's going to rain. If you have no clouds and no pressure front, it's not going to rain. If you have clouds but no pressure front, it's not going to rain. If you have no clouds but a pressure front, it's not going to rain. You have to have clouds and a pressure front, then it'll rain.
The other one is or. This one can be kind of complicated because there's actually two different ways that we use or. One is exclusive, the other is inclusive. The difference being apples or oranges, right? Well, for an exclusive or, we'd say it's either apples or oranges, but it can't be both. It's either one or the other. Well, the one we actually use in logic is the other one, inclusive, where it's either apples or oranges or even both. Hey, that's fine too. So that's the or for logic. So in that case, you know, if A is true, okay, A or B is true. If B is true, all right, A or B is still true. If A and B are true, well, yeah, A or B is still true. But if both A and B are false, then no, A or B as a statement can't be true. Now, the if-then, this one is kind of weird. I'm just going to run through the truth table. But the only case where the if-then would be false is if you say if A, then B. The only time that the if A, then B would be false is if you have A as being true and B as being false. that's where if A, then B would be false in a truth table.
For example, if it's raining, then the street gets wet. It's raining, but the street is not getting wet. There's a serious...
WTF, man.
Right, yeah, there's a serious contradiction there.
All right, and then the last one is not. This one should be really easy to understand. You know, all you got is A, so in the truth table, if you have A is false, well, not A is true. If you have A is true, well, not A is false. It's the opposite world here. And so now I kind of have like a six-step strategy for solving truth tables. First step, I take all the what I call atomic symbols, so just A, B, you know, all those, and I put them in a table and list all the possible combinations. You know, so if you have A and B, then you have four different combinations. I throw that in the table. And then step two, I include the rest of the premises as another column next to those atoms in that table. So I have some extra columns, which are all the premises in there, and I put in the markings for the truth in there, too. Step three, I put in another column for the conclusion and what I expect the truth values to be according to the atoms in the table as well. Now, step four, I highlight each column that has a premise. So each column that is one of the premises in our given information, I highlight it to make it stand out. Step five, I highlight each row where all the premises are true. So now I'm highlighting rows, and it's only going to be the ones where all the highlighted premises are true. Step six, if the conclusion is true in all of the highlighted rows, the conclusion is reached in validity. If you have all the rows that have true premises and one of those rows has a false conclusion, then that's invalid. Fallacy. We'll do some examples. We'll go ahead and actually prove a very basic inference that's accepted as an axiom, but we'll prove modus ponens using truth tables. So we can kind of follow along on the site. But step one, you know, when you have if A then B, your other premise is A, and then your conclusion is B, well, all of our atoms, all of our just main symbols are A and B. So you have four different combinations, and I put those on there. And then you do have one other premise. You have if A, then B. So I included all the different truth possibilities for that premise according to A and B, which goes along with that truth table above the if-then. Now for step three, I included also the conclusion, which for concluding B, I included that at the last column of that truth table. Step four, you see that I highlighted both of the premises. See, B isn't even a premise, so I'm not including that, but if A, then B is premise one, A is premise two, so I highlighted both premises. Step five, I highlight each row that has all of the premises being true, and that's only the last row. So I highlighted that row because both of them have a one down there. Step six, just checking to see that if every row is highlighted, if it has a true conclusion counterpart, then it's valid. So modus ponens by truth table is valid.
It seems almost needlessly complex at first, but it gets extremely useful when you're dealing with very large and complex arguments that involve a lot of premises and a lot of inference types. Or if you're making artificial intelligence, this becomes extremely useful also.
Very useful. Yeah, and through repetition, it actually gets sort of simple. Like even, you know, I forgot how to do this, you know, and I had to kind of refresh myself on it. But if you just keep doing it, it's like mindlessly simple. It's just a six-step process. And now we're actually going to cover the other complicated or semi-complicated argument we had in our previous example using the proof method. We'll actually use a truth table in this one. This next example, you know, the one we already went over, if it's raining, then there are clouds nearby. It is raining, or kittens are dying. Kittens are not dying. That's all of our given information there. So in symbolized form, if A, then B, A or C, not C. So step one is just to list all the atomic variables. So we just have A, B, and C. So that's actually eight different combinations. So I have a table there for that. Now, next is to add all the premises. The first premise was if A, then B. That's a column. Another premise was A or C. That's another column. And the other premise was not C. That's another column. Now, we're trying to see if the conclusion B, if we do want to conclude B, we want to see if we can actually conclude it with validity. So we'll throw that conclusion B into the last column. Now, for step four, what we do is we highlight all the columns that are a premise. It's columns 4 through 6. We don't even include any of the atoms or A, B, and C in the premises. It was actually some complicated ones. So, you know, we have if A, then B, and A or C, and not C highlighted in that table. Step five is to highlight all those rows where each premise is true for every single premise. So we have row 3 highlighted because if A then B, A or C, not C, they're all true in that part of the table. We also highlighted the seventh row because they're all true in that one too. So we check over to look at B to see if B is true in rows 3 and 7, and it is. So in this case, we can say that it's a valid argument. We're kind of at the end of the show. Medicine Soup, do you have any shouts? Alright, and I would say shouts. I'd give shouts to Flack and Knack because they both submitted quite a bit of pictures to our Phoenix2600.org pictures section. And there was actually more pictures than we've ever had usually for a month, so that was cool. And also, special shouts to Knack. He has a really great website that you should all check out. It's super elite. It's www.meatspin.com. I think you'll all love it. I know I enjoy it.
How is meat spelled?
M-E-A-T.
Oh, okay. I was thinking M-E-E-T.
Yeah, it's not like meeting people. It's like meat as in salami. It'll make sense when you go to the site. But until next time, question everything.
Including celebrities.